It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Third and long here for Las Vegas. Dime package for the Steelers. O'Connell delivers it downfield, and he delivers it to the other team. Dante Jackson with the pick. Jackson tackled inside the 10. The wheels have come off for the Raiders.
If you're a casual fan and you come in and you look at the score and you think, oh, Steelers blew out the Raiders, 32-13. No way, not so fast. I don't believe that because there were 21 points out there that were hidden that could have gone either way. I mean, those two touchdowns that the Steelers scored, he had an interception that was thrown by Justin Fields after the punch out by T.J. Watt. That was overturned by roughing the passer. Totally questionable call. I don't think it was a great call. Then you had another one where he threw the ball to Jalen Warren. It did not convert a
third
down.
It was third and 18, right.
And then they called another roughing the passer that led to another score. That's 14 points. Then you had another score that the Raiders had that was called back, in my opinion, and they called a legal man downfield. I do not believe it's a legal man downfield. So the Raiders got a lot of beef. And so if you're a casual fan that's looking across the score, you could think, what a blowout. But the reality is that there's a lot of mixed things in here that concerns me because it could have been a totally different ball game if they weren't for those bad calls.
15-minute mark on the Fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge. That is Chris Hoke on the Extra Point Show. They won by 19. He said there were 21 points that the refs had a hand in. So do the math. Chris Hoke thinks if not for bad calls by the refs, the Raiders win the game.
I didn't agree with him that the illegal man downfield was a bad call. I've seen like multiple breakdowns of that play that said it was the correct call.
Charles today. Davis said technically right goes against the spirit of the game. He said ticky-tack.
Okay, then I would agree that the second roughing the passer was ticky-tack. Some people would probably say the first roughing the passer on Fields was ticky-tack.
I would say back to Charles Davis.
Illegal man downfield doesn't, like, how can a rule like that strictly, it's not about, like, what was the player's intent.
I agree.
Are you outside that window of eligible space?
I agree. That would
space?
Be like, oh man, the Justin Fields touchdown
right.
pass to Pat
against
Freiermuth was a really
game.
Cool play.
Vibes were so
was
good, you gotta
enough,
let him have it.
Why don't we just count it? That's how I feel about that. I'm not going as far as Hokie and saying that the Steelers, you do the math on it, they probably should have lost.
But I get where his basic premise comes from there because I feel the same way. Like, wow, this was the least the cleanest sentence I can say about it or write or do anything is this was the least impressive 32-13 or 19-point win I can remember a team having.
It was the most Mike Tomlin blowout possible. These are the way Mike Tomlin teams play, where their offense doesn't move the ball up and down the field. They are opportunistic, take the ball away. And in this game, they cashed in a lot of them. And they did get... Here's the clarification I'm going to make here. They got helped by the NFL rule book and then the application of it. I don't think they got – the refs did not, in my opinion, do something that is really all that different from what we've seen across the NFL this year. If big men come down on the quarterback, they flag those players for those hits. They probably shouldn't. I mean, the physics of it,
First one I can understand because pile drives his head right into the ground and Fields' head snaps off the ground. The second one I just thought was kind of a weird one.
But I would even say back to that one, Chris, on the first one, like is the defensive player supposed to put down a pillow for the guy?
No.
When he pushes him backwards, like if somebody
he gave him like a spine buster pony. I mean, he was right. He drove him down into the turf.
I know,
like,
but
that to
not,
me is the application of that rule.
I know, but yes, that's what I'm saying. It's the application of the rule, but. Should we forcibly taking a quarterback down where it's not late and you're not targeting the head? I don't think we should be legislating those types of
plays. That's why I think
out of football.
I think the first one was the right call. The second one, I don't. And here's another thing about that illegal man downfield play. I know what the NFL's explanation was, or the official's explanation was. The clock hit zeros before that ball was moving. And it's like a delay of game where they give you that like quarter second or half second of grace.
What did Sterator say about that? Did he say that was the right...
I don't care if he said it was the right move at all. Well, the quarter ended. The quarter ended before the ball was snapped. It was, I would say, less than a half second before the ball was snapped, probably a quarter second. But the quarter was over before that play happened.
Do you agree with Chris that this is a tough game to critique because of the ref interference?
It's a tough game to be honest about. Well, when Chris says it the way he said it, I think because he played the game and was a Super Bowl champion, people are going to put more credence into his explanations or opinions than they will mine.
So you think fans legitimately think the Steelers should have lost that game yesterday?
I do not think that they should have necessarily lost the game. You have to at least put some of it on the Raiders. They didn't. They tried to hurry up to the line instead of challenging the Abdullah run to see if he was over the goal line. Kind of a panicky situation. I think it was very obvious that that game was not one where the score of the game indicated how the game was contested. I guess there's another one of these charts, basically. There were only a couple teams in the league yesterday who won while their offense was objectively worse than the other teams, like in terms of like how successful plays were. For example, the Buccaneers, way more successful than the Saints. The Steelers and the Bengals both won despite the other being better offensively than they were. Like, in terms of, like, how often they were running plays that actually netted good yardage. I'm just trying to dumb this down as much as I can.
Yeah, I don't buy that, though, because I think some of those stats the Raiders...
Some of it was inflatable stats, yes.
You know, garbage touchdown
31 yards
late
for
in the game.
Yeah, but 31 yards for Fields were on a George Pickens placating mission.
True.
Where, by the way, it should have been a touchdown, but he threw a terrible ball.
True. They had under 300 yards of total offense, and they won the game. There's not... They do that a lot. The rest of the league really doesn't, which, again, makes this a classic. There are Mike Tomlin games where he loses, the Mike Tomlin loss, which I thought we were
and this was a
in
Tomlin
line
win.
For that. Yes, that is actually why like I'm being very careful with the way that I critique a game where they won by 19, even if they were benefited by the officials. You still have to make your own breaks. You still, after you get these calls, you have to cash them in for touchdowns and not field goals.
Well, I give Watt credit for like the fumbles
times.
And
yes.
Punching that stuff out. Like I don't consider that to be
but
luck. I don't think that that's transferable game to game. You know that.
Mike Tomlin had to make the decision to go for it on fourth down, and then Fields had to make a play. After the second roughing the passer, Najee Harris had to pull off the run of his life. You know, it was not as if they were set up with automatic touchdowns in both cases. And you brought up Watt, okay? After they get called for the penalty for illegal man downfield, I mean, the Raiders were still in good position to score there. It wasn't like...
No, and Watt made a great play.
They got pushed way back, and he made an incredible play, exactly.
Well, you're paying him $20 million for that. I mean,
yes.
He should make plays like that. Then I think, though, like, again, luck is a factor here. You have a play that ends up being called a lateral. It's a horrible throw by Fields. How Jaylen Warren falls on that football is completely beyond me. And that's another series that could have ended with the ball going the other way. It ends up with some points going on the board for them.
I mean,
the bottom line here, quickly, I'll let you finish. I think most of us, at least I do, and maybe people don't watch games like this. Maybe you don't watch. When I'm evaluating a player like Fields, because I know the quarterback situation is in flux, there is not a an established alpha dog at the position. I am watching the player independent of the result of the game to see, like, am I seeing things that you would want to see from a quarterback who's in this developmental process here? I didn't see them through the air yesterday.
I agree, but I don't think it has to be linear for the guy at the end of the year or as the season goes on to still feel better about him than their other quarterback option or about his potential big picture. I mean, yes, I have concerns about Fields being their answer at quarterback, not just because of some of the things that we see him fail to do in the game, but also I just don't trust this team to put him in a position, surround him with the right people to be a great quarterback. So it's not just all on him. I don't think you are doing that. But this argument that if you just swap out quarterbacks, it's like a magic key that turns a lock in their offense. No way.
You trade off the thought that you're going to pass the ball better, which I'll admit is something that has me hung up here because I'm not positive. It's another reason I'm staying with Fields, despite maybe making a case why Fields should be on shaky ground. You assume that the passing game is going to get better with Wilson. I don't think you can guarantee that by any stretch. But what you do know is that he will not run the ball as well as Justin Fields.
Is there a quarterback decision this week? Is there anybody out there who would actually go to Wilson against the Jets despite scoring 32 points and winning this game yesterday? 412-928-9370. And overall, how did you think the Steelers played? You had Chris Hoke say that the refs basically gifted the Steelers 21 points and they only won by 19. So didn't really play well enough to win yesterday. 412-928-9370. Here's Jason on the Fan. Hello, Jason.
Oh, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm that guy you're looking for here because I'm absolutely baffled that we as Steeler fans have become comfortable with a quarterback that cannot throw the ball downfield. He has five throwing TDs against four terrible wins against teams that are terrible. You only have five throwing.
Okay, so let me just
hold on. The teams that they've beaten aren't terrible. Atlanta's 4-2. The Chargers are 3-2. The Cowboys are 500.
What we have coming at us.
Denver's terrible, also okay? Got a winning record.
Dallas beat us, okay? Russell Wilson can throw more TDs in half of a year than Justin will ever throw in a full season.
And who's he throwing them to?
Okay, the receivers that Justin keeps missing.
And who are those guys?
The ones that are open and he can't hit.
And who are those guys that are getting open?
Okay. The guys that he misses.
Yes,
when
I'm asking you to name them for me, Jason.
Are who the ones that are on the
yes.
field?
Yes, who are they? Yes, can
the
you
only five we have?
Yes, can you recite their names for us, please?
But would you put a running back, quarterback?
No, time out. Can you finish this for me and then
yeah,
we can get.
We only have five. We have George. We have Vance. We have Roman. Okay. We have Pat.
Okay.
We have Calvin Austin.
All right. So just to make sure I hear you right, Van Jefferson is getting open. Calvin Austin is getting open. These are wide receivers.
You guys just said that Justin missed open receivers.
Yes, he didn't have a good game yesterday.
On three successive throws, he also has hit very tightly covered receivers very well early in the year, if I'm being fair.
He has five throwing TDs in six games.
Do running touchdowns count?
No, he's not a running back.
So wait a minute, hold on. He is the man running the offense. So when
when did Russell Wilson break his legs?
Wait a minute. So when Fields runs for a touchdown from like 7 yards out, he doesn't flip a 7-yard throw to Darnell Washington. When he runs from 7 yards out to score, that does not count to the same degree it would if he passed for one, ultimately, on the scoreboard.
Okay, yeah, but Russell can't run for 7 yards.
No, but Jason, I'm asking you, what Chris is saying is...
He's got 10 touchdowns and a total of 2 turnovers this year. That's not bad.
If he throws short touchdowns...
This is insane.
No, hold on a second, Jason. If he throws 2 short touchdown passes yesterday instead of running them in, you feel better about the game?
No, it makes no difference.
It doesn't. So passing touchdowns, so what? Scoring touchdowns is irrelevant now.
No, listen, okay. And his
Jason,
season,
he's got 10 total season, touchdowns to one
listen,
pick.
His best season, he threw 17 TDs.
Yeah. Yeah, Chicago was a disaster.
Season in 22.
Yeah.
He threw 16 of them. When has Justin Fields broke 20? Never.
I mean, by that logic,
Ben Roethlisberger in 08 threw what, 18 touchdowns or 17 touchdowns?
You're sitting here saying that you're happy with an offense that is pretty much running the Wildcat.
They scored 32 points yesterday. They scored 32 points yesterday. I'm not saying I'm happy, but they scored 32 points yesterday.
What makes that different than a Wildcat offense with a quarterback?
I don't give a rat's ass if you're running Navy's offense. If you score 32 points, that's good.
I mean, have you seen Navy? I kind of want to run that offense.
So we're
right
now happy without a quarterback that can throw the ball. We're just going to run a Wildcat offense.
He has completed 66% of the throws he's attempted this year.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's amazing. Five TDs in six games and through the air.
His passer rating is 94, which is above the league average. So by that metric, he's above a league average passer.
Since when are we upset that a backup, he was called the backup to start the year, correct?
Yep, correct.
In a close race,
yes. Your backup comes in, he wins you games.
Yep.
That's great, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. He's a backup. The starter is ready. He comes in the game.
So basically, if Tomlin doesn't go to Russell Wilson, who's your starter, he's effing up and he's basically committing like coaching malpractice. If Russell Wilson doesn't start next week,
I wouldn't keep Fields on a bench. I would keep him on the field for some packages. But he's not a better quarterback.
Let me ask you this question, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Nope, he's gone.
Thank you, Jason.
So what would Jason have said if I give him two hypotheticals, and one is a pretty big one, one is not so much. If Justin Fields gets it done in the Indy game, drives them back down the field and completes that comeback, and if the Steelers' $126 million defense merely stops the Cowboys once Fields has put them up 17-13.
And they're undefeated right now.
But he's coming off the same game against Dallas that he ultimately played in the same game yesterday.
Is he still calling for Russell Wilson, your question.
And
it's a good one.
And again, I'm like the conflicted person here in the sense that I'm starting Fields in this game Sunday night, but I'm not feeling great about it. But even I would have to agree and have to concede he didn't lose them the Dallas game. He played horrible in the first half, but when the chips were on the table, he got them the lead with under 5 minutes to go against a very shorthanded opponent.
The guy has clear warts and has clear imperfections as a quarterback, but let's not sit here and act like the guy that got benched in Denver last year for Jarrett effing Stidham is a perfect player. And before you say, well, that was about money, you're right, it was. But my rebuttal to that would be, if I'm playing devil's advocate, why weren't more teams interested in him this offseason?
There were two.
When you could have had him for $1 million, why weren't there 10 teams? There's a lot of dumb teams out there then.
There were
according
two.
According to Jason, 412-928-9370. You want to chime in? There's a guy who says absolutely Russell Wilson should replace Justin Fields after the Steelers shellacked the Raiders 32-13, although maybe I shouldn't use that word. Because Chris Hoke said
the Steelers
basically
squeaked by the Raiders 32-13.
Probably should have lost yesterday if not for the refs. Where do you come down on that? 412-928-9370. Here's a headline.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's still things to correct, even though we were able to win and win with a decent sized margin. But I'd say more importantly is just starting the game fast. And I know we talk about it each and every week, but we need to continue to hone in on starting the game faster.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. TJ Watt, still not happy or not completely content because of slow starts. Steelers defense gave up an opening drive touchdown. We're really good after that. His first game after turning 30. 412-928-9370. Here is Brian on the fan. Hello, Brian. Brian?
Swami? Samsonite.
See ya.
I was way off.
Here is Troy on the fan. Hello, Troy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
First off, talking about the physics of, roughing the quarterback penalty, I just think guys are not being coached up on that. If you watch Brian Burns hit on Joe Burrow last night, that's exactly how you have to finish a play. Those are definitely roughing the passer penalties. They're just not being coached up enough to let them hands go and not finish and drive through the quarterback. So I like both.
Fair, but we also saw a guy last night, because he was afraid of a body weight thing, just let go of Joe Burrow on a play where it should have been a sack. And it went for an incompletion.
I think letting go of somebody and driving someone to the ground are two different things. Once you know you have someone like Brian Burns had Joe Burrow last night, once you hit them in the sternum and start taking them to the ground, you just got to be coached up better to let them hands go and not drive them. I think those are definitely
So just
calls.
To make sure I hear you right, though, Troy, if Cam Hayward comes down with his body weight on a guy and it costs the Steelers a game, you'll be the first person to call in and say, the refs didn't screw us. This is the NFL in 2024.
Got to coach him up right.
I mean, fair is fair.
Okay.
All right. You can't be biased. But what I'll say about Russell Wilson and the Justin Fields thing, yes, I've wanted to see Russell Wilson. I think a lot of people want to see Russell Wilson. I think that some of the inaccuracies that Justin Fields is having, I don't think Russell Wilson will have them. But in turn, I don't think Russell Wilson can make the plays that Justin Fields makes with his feet. So I think they even out. The penalties that Chris Hoke's talking about, that's a bunch. I just can't believe he's saying that. All those penalties equal out at the end of the year. Yes, you have some games where they go in your favor and you have some games where they don't, but they equal out at the end of the year. But down to Russell and down to Fields, I want to, the only, and I said this to you guys a bunch of times before, the only way that you truly know that Justin Fields is your guy to see Russell Wilson. For the rest of the season, we're going to be playing this game. I'd rather see Russell Wilson before we get to these divisional opponents. I'd like to see what he has before we hit the crux of our schedule. If we don't do it now, there is no other time to do it.
So you would bench a guy, 10 touchdowns, one turnover off a 19-point win. Two turnovers. Well, what's
now,
the second
now,
one?
He fumbled against the Colts.
If you kind of look at Fields, his three best games statistically, what is consistent with those three best games? He has turned the ball over in each of those games, whether it's a fumble or whether it's an interception. In the three best games that he has turned the ball over every time. So we have to look at that. The other games he hasn't turned it over, but statistically his stats were not there. But he is consistently turning the ball over when he has a game where his stats are looking good and people are saying, hey, look back at these stats. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to do that. And like I said, you got to see it now.
I mean, okay, fair enough. I mean, I disagree with you on that. That's fine, though. He's gotten away with some plays. There's no doubt the Jalen Warren lateral is
evidence of that. The interception
that
just would have, without a personal foul, it's not. I think he still throws the ball that way.
Yep.
So that's two yesterday, bare minimum.
He's had good fumble luck. So
well, the Warren play is terrific fumble luck, my God.
But even, like I'm talking about the quarterback center exchange thing.
Anytime a ball hits the ground and is ruled a fumble, getting it back, if you're the team that fumbled it, is luck-based. Like, it just is. Unless the ball, like, even if the ball bounces, like, one time straight back to the guy who fumbled it, that's still good luck. Ball on the ground is a random kind of thing.
I adamantly disagree that we need to get an answer before we play a game against the Browns. Like, yes, the games in the division count double. That's the first what's the first division game? Is it the Browns or the Ravens? Is it the Ravens? If it's the Ravens, okay, I think it is the Ravens. All right, so you want to have, like, your ducks in a row.
Ravens, Browns, Bengals.
Yes, it's the Ravens. So you want to have your ducks in a row by the biggest game on your schedule. Okay, fine. I just think the overall body of work with Fields is still more good than bad. It's closer to 50-50 than
should
it was.
He be, is he on, like, double secret
game?
Probation? If he plays poorly against the Jets and they lose, what are you doing?
I'd probably go to Russell Wilson at that
See,
point.
See, that's the thing for me. That tells maybe more the truth here. Yes, it's partly because you're 4-2 and not 6-0, but I don't think he, other than with his most ardent fans, bought himself, like, an extra game reprieve where he would at least last to the bye week.
Here's Mr. Old School. Hello, Old School.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, I have to, you know, I have to disagree with you guys. I mean, I've been telling you all, and he showed it again, that Justin Fields is a runner. When's the last runner that won a Super Bowl? The other thing is this.
Well,
a runner's won two
MVPs lately.
Yeah, but you do rip the guy for saying, that same guy, Pony, for saying he'll never be a good enough passer to win a Super Bowl.
I do. That's fair.
Yeah, and the other thing is, guys, is that I've been telling you, and you saw it again last night, he still cannot go under center, turn his back, and complete a pass. Whenever he does it, he's running around or he's throwing errant passes. And 65 to 70% of this offense is based off the play action. And regardless of what Tomlin says, the play action is different under center because the linebackers cannot see the ball right away. And the other thing is with Russell Wilson is going to throw accurately deep ball passes. We already know that. And we keep running this thing about, well, he's rusty. And, you know, this guy won a Super Bowl. And I want to see what he can do because I don't believe that we'll ever win a Super Bowl with a running quarterback. And I don't care about Lamar Jackson. He ain't won nothing. Everybody who has won a Super Bowl are passers.
And you think we can win one with Russ?
Yes.
Wow.
We may not be able to win one with Russ, but we can get somebody in and Russ can mentor them. We'll win more games with Russ.
Let me just disagree with you on that. The guy's not in the business of mentoring whatsoever.
Yeah, you're right about that. But guess what? You give me this number. How many touchdowns have we scored in the first two quarters all year? How many?
I don't know that one off the top of my head, Pony. Do you?
It's none. We scored one this time. 12 quarters, no touchdowns. Only three games have we led in the first half all year. That is not a good record in which Fields can hang a hat on, and that's what I got to say.
All right, thank you.
So wait, he's saying yesterday's touchdown was the first one they scored in the first half all year? First two quarters of a game?
That's not right, I don't think. I can start to think back, but my brain is still in a fog.
Didn't score one at all against Atlanta.
No, they didn't. They kicked field goals.
They scored one yesterday. They didn't score one against Dallas in the first half.
Nope.
Did they score one against Indy in the first half?
There's no doubt that their offense is stuck in park to start games. Let's not make any bones about it. That
well,
has
yesterday,
been an issue.
And yes, and you know what frustrated the hell out of me yesterday? And I will throw Arthur Smith under the bus a little bit. He ran a play, called a play so bad, Ian Eagle immediately said, burn it, take it out of the playbook.
Oh, one of the great calls of the season.
He also had not, I don't know if Najee needed like a quick blow because it had been a couple hard runs and he had caught a pass. They're moving it. I'm going, okay, this is nice. Like whooping ass here, just like point of attack and go. And then we get crack toss to Jalen Warren.
Yeah, that was brutal.
And it was just horrible. It put the whole thing in the mud.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, where we've now hit a point where people are calling in and saying, yes, off a 19-point win, let's bench Justin Fields for Russell Wilson. Do you agree with those calls? 412-928-9370. We'll also give out game balls next, but first a headline. We'll be right back. All right, Donnie just showed up at Stadium Swim at Circa where I was on Friday, and apparently it's just a bunch of pasty white guys. Like I told you, that's the vibe. That was the vibe there when I was there on Friday.
You know, sometimes
white dudes with their shirts off with jiggly man boobs.
You know how, like, if you haven't worked out a ton, if you're like, you got average dad bod, if you're photographed from the back, you got that little bit of skin kind of flabbing out halfway down your back. You kind of have like
how about hairy backs? Like, you seen hairy backs in this?
I wasn't like looking that closely. I'm sure there is some hairy backs, but that upper love handle. There was a lot of that upper back love handle going on, and we had a PM team spy. Put us onto this. And Donnie is wearing a bucket hat, it looks like, and a bright red Hulkamania cutoff t-shirt with a large pair of aviator shades. He looks like the ringleader and or the class clown of the group.
He looks like a guy that hasn't stopped drinking since he touched down there Saturday morning. All right, let's get to the game balls. This is the first one, which is technically like the bronze medal of game balls.
Yes,
it's really just for one play.
Steelers defense starting to exert its will. Another punt here for A.J. Cole, his third, and they get there! Punt is blocked! Ball is still free, drilled inside the 10.
You absolutely nailed it. Watch the middle, because this is where it's going to come from. And there's Moon, and he does a perfect job of coming at an angle for the foot of the punter.
Jeremiah Moon, here's why I'm going to give it to him. Because even though he didn't really do anything defensively, he had to juggle both. He had to...
like an early James Harrison situation.
Yes, he had to not only have the biggest assignment of his career as an NFL player, getting the majority of the snaps at edge rusher opposite TJ Watt, he had to balance the special teams part of it. And I would think usually in those situations, okay, I've got to really show out on defense. That's where I'm going to get paid. That's where I'm going to get make a name for myself. I could half-ass or at least kind of go through the motions on the special teams plays. Maybe no one will notice, or if they do, they'll understand. No, he made a game-breaking play on that side of the ball, the third unit in football. So I give the guy props.
When you watch a play like that happen, maybe I'm an idiot and you can just make fun of me if you've never had this thought. Don't you wonder how more punts don't get blocked? Like, that just seemed like a pretty straightforward, like, it was a blown assignment, whatever, nice play, but I always wonder how you don't see more guys get home and block punts in a given year. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, it seems like when it happens.
I honestly have the exact opposite take, because the punter's so far away, I'm like, how does anybody ever get there in time to block the kick?
So, snap is in the air for, what, maybe a half second to three quarters of a second. Punter catches ball. Ball is off punter's foot in what, another second and a half?
It's not long, Malzahn.
So you have 2 seconds
You got like the two guys back there behind the line too. Like,
Pony, I think this is just more proof that football players, very athletic, in case you were curious.
All right, so game ball number three goes to, or game ball number one goes to Jeremiah.
Danny Smith just was chewing the absolute snot out of that gum too.
Game ball number two.
Third and goal. Shotgun. O'Connell, give. Abdullah. Oh, he lost it! The Steelers have it. Abdullah coughs it up right at the goal line. Recovered once again by Pittsburgh.
Hooked it out. Nope, it's a deliberate right there. Bam. Hand, fist, on ball.
TJ Watt, he's made this list before. He's the Steelers' best player. He's the best defensive player in the NFL. And his sack numbers are down. So he told reporters after the game that he's trying to find different ways to affect the outcome.
If they want to truly eliminate getting to the quarterback with getting the ball out quick, the slides, the chips, like a team can pretty much do that if they want to. So I'm going to have to try to find ways to continue to affect the game as much as possible. And I've been doing the punch out back to Tim Tibisar in college at Wisconsin. He coached Peanut Tillman in Chicago, and he used to always tell me, and Peanut used to always get a ball out every day in practice. And I carried that with me, and it's been something I've continued to try to do, especially when you get in those situations. And when you have a defense that flies around like this, you're able to take more chances. I don't always get the football, but when you do, it's a big play.
And they did it twice.
So Aiden Hutchinson, what happened to him sucks, and I feel really bad for him. He was having a ridiculous start to the year. He was the odds-on favorite to be the defensive player of the year, but now he's off the board. TJ Watt is now your betting favorite in most of those betting houses to win the award. I probably occasionally, just because I like being disagreeable, undersell his impact, but he was ridiculous. The fact that he has the presence of mind in a fast-moving situation like that to both think, I'm going to go for the punch before the tackle, and more importantly, to actually hit ball successfully both times he did it, is absolutely wild. Charles Davis was talking on the other one, I think, about how Watt sees that his teammate has secured the tackle and he goes for the punch. Then they play the replay. He goes, actually, wait a minute.
Nope,
he just punched the ball out. I could have easily used that as my play of the game because I thought that specific force fumble really changed the tenor of everything.
My prediction is that play will be outlawed and banned in the NFL someday very soon because if you miss and punch somebody in the face or whatever.
If you punch somebody in the face, you're going to break your hand off their helmet.
Well, yeah, I know. So you can hurt yourself doing that.
Oh, they don't care about that, I don't think.
I just don't think they like the optics of people swinging punches at each other.
But they're not.
That's the NFL in 2020.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Yes, Mulsey.
This is a bit.
No, it's not. Look at some of the crap they've banned in the league. You think Roger Goodell likes guys just swinging all the way through and blasting people
yes.
to get the ball out? I'm not sure about that.
Peanut Tillman was doing this 2 decades ago.
Yes, a lot of things that people were doing 2 decades ago are no longer allowed in the NFL. A la the Steelers-Ravens AFC Championship game.
So if I were to say to Roger Goodell, Roger, what do you think about these punch-outs of footballs that cause fumbles? He'd say, that is a disgusting, violent
act. What if you miss it, went through the guy's face mask, punched somebody right in the face, bloodied out,
knocked
out, concussed?
Can your fist even fit through that gap?
I don't know.
What if he accidentally
There's
missed
a helmet in here. See if your hand can fit in one of those
What if he
helmets,
accidentally
Look, grab that one right to the left of you. Can your hand fit in there?
This one's doesn't have the overhanging thing.
Yep, see?
Barely. Hold on. Wait a minute.
That one, that's the Ryan Clark one. Yep, see?
But there's no
kill
way.
You could kill somebody.
No, the glove is going to catch.
No,
the glove is going to catch right here.
Mulsey has normal man-sized hands, not NFL-sized hands.
I have 9 1/4-inch hands, okay? I could have been a starting quarterback in the NFL.
All right, game ball number 3.
Harris back in there. And Harris handles the first contact, and Harris isn't going down. Takes it to the 30-yard line.
Najee Harris, 2 best runs probably in a Steelers uniform. That one where people were jumping on his back and he was just dragging them when he was fighting off defenders in the second quarter. Then his explosive run. He had 4 for a touchdown. He had 4 runs of more than 10 yards. This is a guy that is a plotter, and usually it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And he had big plays yesterday, which has not been part of the Najee Harris repertoire to this point in his career.
Wait, did we play this one? I think we have to play the other one. Here, I got it. Charlie, is my computer still ready to go?
Oh, the
32 to go in the third.
This is
running play. Najee Harris. Shake and bake move by Harris. Takes it to the sideline, and he's tackled at the 46.
Ian Eagle is just so good.
And that's the vision. Is what Harris sees it on the cutback, and then he makes Jones miss in the hole, as you described, Ian.
Jack Jones's whole family felt that. You watch that on the replay. I think Bill Barnwell, he sent him to the shadow realm. Najee Harris doesn't do that. He tries to either run through people or jump over them, which he did again and got obliterated on a play. That was a nasty juke.
3 game balls. Jeremiah Moon for his block punt, TJ Watt for his 2 punches, and Najee Harris for his first 100-yard game of the season. 412-928-9370. Here is Jason in Carnegie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how are we doing, fellas?
Hey, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the quarterbacks at
sure.
first. Then you guys start talking about TJ Watt, so I don't even know what we're on right now.
Whatever
we
you
kind of move all over the map. This is a free
whatever
form
you want,
show.
Jason.
But the quarterback situation, though, as is right now, I'm all for Fields staying in there. But there's all this talk of us bringing in another receiver, whether it be Adams or DeAndre Hopkins or whoever it may be.
Okay.
If we have another top talent receiver, talent of that kind, then I would like to see Russ, because Russ is going to be able to spread the ball to those 2 receivers and get it to the tight end. He'll be able to look off receivers better than Wilson can do. I mean, better than Fields can do. So if we were to up to our roster and put another receiver out there, what do you guys think then about putting Russ in?
I don't mind it. I'm not going to fight you on that point. You think that he's going to be able to get the ball downfield, especially if they bring in someone that has a reputation for being someone that catches the
ball. What
would
that say about Fields, though, in general, like
deep,
how you feel about him? Hey, we brought in another receiver, but it's to make the other guy's life easier. He's going in. We really don't believe in your ability to throw it at all. We're going to, in principle, make it easier for you to throw the ball, but you're also not going to get a chance.
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with Jason that that move would get me to immediately bench Justin Fields, but I understand how he or I might think that with better wide receivers, with better weapons, a more, not just sophisticated passing game, but just better pieces in it, that that would allow for Wilson to have more success in the offense. I completely buy the argument right now that as long as you have a rudimentary passing game because of the wide receiver lack of talent and the offensive line issues, that Fields is the best guy for this offense. Not just because you're thinking about playing the long game. I just mean from an X's and O's standpoint.
He takes
right now
plays that are not going to work. I mean, they had the play where Broderick Jones looked like the controller was disconnected pretty clearly was a screen that they were all confused about, and Fields turned it into what? He ran it for like 14 yards. Wilson's not doing that.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 handle that. A bunch of topics on the table. The Steelers blow out the Rangers. Is there the Raiders? Is there really a question about who should be the starting quarterback? We've had callers this hour really bang the drum for Russell Wilson. Are you one of those people, even after a blowout win? 412-928-9370. We had Chris Hoke say that there was really a 21-point swing in this game because of the refs. Did you feel like the Steelers played well yesterday? 412-928-9370. And coming back, we'll address the George Pickens topic. What did we make of him yesterday? And how does it make us feel about the Steelers' wide receiver room moving forward? All on the table at 412-928-9370.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.